A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 8, 2003, entitled, Touched by Mystery, Tested by Experience. The texts for the sermon are Acts 10, verses 34 through 48, and John 4, verses 16 through 24. Copyright Grand Valley State University. Please note that the original recording spanned two sides of a cassette tape, so there was some missing material. I will bridge the gap.
On this day of Pentecost, I want to tell you that Pentecost continues to happen. And this morning, I'm so happy that Pam and Mike and Nancy and Jim could be received in this 8:30 service so that you could share as well in the joy that we as a community experience when folks come to us and find here the grace of God. Some of us have been around here for a long, long time. Way back in the 70s, we had a spurt of growth that was unprecedented, and people were coming in here by the dozens, and the unified testimony of those who came was that what they found here was an experience of grace, of acceptance. And that has a whole history to it, which some of you know, and I'm not going to go into. But some of us who have been here over all that time look at each other on occasion, and we say, you know what? It still happens. It's still happening. People are still coming here and encountering this community and finding that gracious acceptance and a place to be themselves, and to be at peace with the experience of God. The elders meeting, or the ministry council meeting of 2 or 3 weeks ago, was one of those wonderful experiences. And when we heard so many great stories, I could have Jim and Nancy come and tell their story. It would be more effective this morning. Pamela could come up. Mike was off to Germany, I think. Pamela said he said it was business. She wasn't sure. In any case, there was a telling of the stories around the circle, and there was laughter. And there were tears, because it was a group of people who, like all of us, are really hungering for that sense of spiritual wholeness, healing, to have a sense of belonging, to have the experience of the embrace of the grace of God, which comes through the embrace of God's people. And the common thread that ran through those stories, and people came from all directions, all different confessional groups and institutional affiliations, and the common story that was expressed was the fact that coming here, they experienced something that put them finally at ease and at home. If I may just refer to Jim and Nancy for a moment, you came around Christmas time because your daughter was playing an instrument here, and they have a long background in the church. But if I can say it this way, you had a lover's quarrel with the church, and never just being able to say yes. And they came here to hear their daughter play, and lo and behold, what they experienced as they encountered you was that gracious space that enabled them to be at home. And that's a wonderful kind of experience. And when you sit in a circle on an evening and you hear 8 or 9 of those kinds of witnesses go on, you go out of there, for one thing, exhilarated and full of joy. And you also know how important that experience of grace continues to be. And like I said, some of us look at each other and say, it's still happening. And as long as that is still happening, there is a very critical role for a community like this to play. A place that honors diversity. A place that doesn't narrow the definitions. A place that doesn't establish the rules as a wall. A place that is welcoming, beckoning, and encouraging to an ongoing pilgrimage of faith that is filled with question, with wonder, and with awe. And I think that's the reason we continue, and the reason we continue to come back, and the reason folks who encounter us continue to say, that's where I want to be. That particular evening was the experience of Pentecost. It was the experience of God, of the experience of God, the experience of that mystery that is God, that in a moment becomes very tangible and very concrete. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to celebrate that. And I want to say that what is going on in that kind of situation is that we are touched by the mystery, which is then tested in experience. For the most orthodox Christian tradition has acknowledged that God is mystery, that we cannot get our heads around God, that God is that mystery that is more than simply a knotty problem that someday maybe we'll be able to solve, but mystery in the sense that God transcends the capacity of the human being to grasp or to know in some kind of intellectual fashion. But that mystery, nonetheless, touches us. For finally, we know, you know, we haven't created ourselves. And we are self-conscious beings who live and who know that we die, who love and know that those whom we love will be separated from us by their death or ours. And we are creatures who raise the question, what's this all about, and is this all there is, and what does it mean? An institutional religion is a necessary evil. I guess if it weren't for the institutional forms of the Christian faith, we probably wouldn't be gathered here today. But thank God there is grace that enables a community now and again, here and there, to be set free from that institutional framework. For the Spirit needs form, but the form kills the Spirit. And so what I want us to reflect on just for a moment and to rejoice in this morning is that wonderful freedom that the Spirit creates when we are touched by that mystery, that then in turn we can test in our concrete experience. For so often the mystery is defined for us, and then we're told this is what we have to believe. And what if you don't believe it? Can you pull some intellectual trick? Can you trick yourself? Can you say, well, if that's what I've got to believe, I'll believe it? No. You see, Peter had this interesting experience where the experience flew full in the face of what he had been traditioned to believe. For Peter was a Jew. Peter had all of the grandeur and the glory of the tradition of Israel behind him. And he has a vision that he can't quite figure out. And there's a knock on a door, there's an invitation to have dinner with the Roman legion centurion Cornelius. And he comes, can't you see him? Should I knock or not? And then the door is opened and he's welcomed, and he said, and he blurts out, I mean, this is the epitome of courtesy and civility. He looks his host in the face and he says, you know, I'm not supposed to be here.
I'm not supposed to hang out with people like you.
But interestingly, as he comes to that door and as he greets Cornelius, he says, but God has been showing me that I should not consider anyone profane. You know what the word profane means, literally? It means outside the temple. Now there's a whale of an insight. For Peter, who believes that in his Jewish tradition, he is in touch with the one true God, creator of heaven and earth. And he says, this God has revealed to me that I should consider no one profane, no one outside the temple. And so he comes in and he scratches his head again and he says, what I am encountering, counter to everything that I have ever been traditioned to believe, is that God shows no partiality, but in any place or nation, those who fear God and live a life of righteousness are accepted by God. And so then he says, well, I guess what you called me here for is to tell you my story. So he tells the story of Jesus. And then lo and behold, to add insult to injury, the Holy Spirit falls upon them. Now don't get any ideas here this morning. I want decorum. No dancing in the aisles, please. An occasional amen would be accepted. But he has this concrete experience. And what's he going to do with it? You see, this is the stuff that is the origin of the Christian church. For the Christian church is simply the child of Judaism for the whole world. I'm rather sorry that there had to be a split or a break, that we had to give birth to another world religion. And yet, because of that, we still have the distinctiveness of the Jewish faith, and we have the Jewish God translated for the whole world, for all the nations. So okay. But how did it happen? It happened because the likes of Peter We're willing to let their concrete experience have its way over against the things that had been so deeply ingrained in them. And that's my point this morning. The human situation is a situation of being embedded in history. And history moves. History unfolds. It's open-ended. The story still goes on. And so if you have an ancient text that is the founding story of a movement, if that movement is going to keep pace with the unfolding story, the human story, it's going to have to continue to understand and interpret its understanding in light of its experience. The scriptures give witness to the experience of God. But we can only experience God in our own context. And so it is that mystery that is God that is witnessed to in the scripture that needs to be experienced in the context of our own life and what we know. The book of Acts is an instance of what I would call inductive theology, as opposed to deductive theology. Induction is a philosophical term that simply means you go about gathering data and then draw a conclusion on the basis of the data. With deduction, you have a principle or a proposition that is regarded as true, and then you force your experience into the conception of that proposition. In the old dogmatic method of the church, the creeds and the confessions are like templates that are pressed on human experience. And they determine what is possible in human experience. For example, deductively, Peter should never have gone to Cornelius's door. Deductively, in terms of the proposition of his creedal dogmatic system, there was no room for that movement to Cornelius. But thank God, Peter was able to move by whatever inward urgings or intuition there was operative by the Spirit of God to expose himself to fresh experience that enabled him to come to a grander vision of God. And that's the ongoing necessity of any movement that would stay alive and vital. Otherwise, what we are given to believe finds no resonance in what we actually live. God, the infinite mystery, has touched us. And we have that yearning, that hunger, to be at home in the universe, to have some sense of being embraced by a grace beyond ourselves. But that experience, if it is always bumping up against our concrete living, will have to be compartmentalized so that we do this little religious thing over here and then go on and live our lives in a secular fashion. When the secret is to allow that experience of grace to move with us through the week and through every aspect of our lives, always being tested by experience and by reason. I mentioned I mentioned a moment ago that in 2 weeks from today, Gary Dorian will be preaching, and Friday night and Saturday he will be lecturing on the history of the American liberal movement. And I took a quote from Gary Dorian's the introduction to the, he's got the first two volumes published, and he's on page 500 of the third volume. But he says, the idea of liberal theology is nearly three centuries old. In essence, it is the idea that Christian theology can be genuinely Christian without being based on external authority. This is Gary Dorian's central thesis in his telling of this very exciting story. That the thing that characterized the whole liberal movement was its refusal to be determined by an external authority. If you are Roman Catholic, the teaching office of the church. If you are Eastern Orthodox, the tradition, the liturgical tradition. If you are Protestant, it is the authority of the Bible. But in every case, the church has been marked by an external authority that determined what one must believe. Before the modern period, all Christian theologies were constructed within a house of authority. All pre-modern Christian theologies made claims to authority-based orthodoxy. And he goes on. The essential idea of liberal theology is that all claims to truth in theology as in other disciplines must be made on the basis of reason and experience, not by appeal to external authority. Christian scripture may be recognized as spiritually authoritative within the Christian experience, but its word does not settle or establish truth claims about matters of fact. The whole liberal tradition is a response to modernity, which most of the church in its institutional forms has still not faced up to. Most of the church is still operating under an external authority, be it church institution, be it liturgical tradition, be it written word. The thing that has created the space for people to come here and sense grace and freedom is the fact that we have removed that external authority and have invited you to come in the experience of that mystery and journey on your own pilgrimage, honoring the tradition, hearing the word, engaged in the liturgy, but always in relationship to what you experience every day. Touched by a mystery, tested by experience. No last word. No set of absolutes. Just a pilgrim people on the way, joining hands and hearts in a happy journey, confident of the touch of grace, and open to fresh experience. That's Pentecost.